Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Mondays have a reputation, would you agree? Most people see Monday as the most difficult day of the week. Why? Because Monday follows the weekend, which for most people has historically been more relaxed and enjoyable than the work week, right? But if Mondays are challenging, can you imagine what the next day after the rapture will be for those who are left behind? While the word rapture was not used by Paul in his description of the phenomenon we looked at yesterday, outlined in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it is a word meaning taken up and has been used by many people to describe that event. Why? Because in a moment, every genuine living Christian will be removed from planet Earth. Of course, that means the only people left alive on Earth a few minutes later will be those who had not trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation from their sin condemnation, thus the phrase left behind. While Paul concluded 1 Thessalonians 4 with these words directed to the Thessalonian Christians, therefore encourage one another with these words, in truth, what Paul described will be nothing short of terrifying to all who contemplate being left behind. Naturally, Paul knew anyone who would ever read Paul's description of that remarkable day of rapture would immediately ask the question, when will this happen? Perhaps you have found yourself caught up in that debate. Yes, there have been a wide range of opinions through the years, including some people who have gone so far as to pick a specific date on the calendar and then make bold predictions about that date. Yet Jesus has not yet returned. That's why Paul wrote these next words of caution, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Do you remember the very last question the disciples asked Jesus before his ascension back to heaven stirred this response from Jesus? It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Do you see striking similarity between Paul's words written to the Greek Thessalonian Christians in about 50 AD and Jesus' last words spoken to his disciples? Why? What is the lesson for you and me now 2,000 years after those words were spoken and written? Well, it seems quite clear, doesn't it? We are to leave in God's sovereign hands the determination of exactly when these remarkable things will happen, which are described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and other things included in the day of the Lord. And further, we are to be about the business of living God-honoring lives, following the leading of the Holy Spirit as we point our world to Jesus. We all understand what Paul meant as he used the phrase, like a thief in the night, don't we? It means that day will be unexpected, impactful, and shocking, right? Thieves come unexpectedly and do not announce their moment of arrival. Their coming is impactful both on those who experience thieves and those who hear about it. And thieves normally leave their victims in some degree of shock, for things have dramatically changed after the thieves leave, right? Can you see why the Holy Spirit led Paul to use those words in describing the future return of Jesus Christ and what will happen when he comes? But what about this day of the Lord, Paul mentions? A few verses later in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul gives us a bit more. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 to 11. I see three significant promises from God in these verses. Do you? First, the words, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, were not a promise from Paul that Christians would not suffer persecution. Jesus had warned that persecution from a world which refused Jesus and his gospel would be poured out upon followers of Jesus in every generation. John chapter 15. The word wrath here is far more than persecution. This word is describing the wrath of God, which will be poured out upon the world that has rejected God. That almost unimaginable wrath of God is described in multiple scriptures. Isaiah chapter 13, Zephaniah chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 14, but especially Revelation chapter 8 and 9. Second, the words to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ speak both of our personal salvation from our sin condemnation, which any person receives when we repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ to be our Savior, but also God's promise that Jesus will rescue all his people out from the earth before that terrible day of the Lord, judgment of God. Third, Paul's words, he died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him, remind us that it is through the atonement death of Jesus that redemption is accomplished and salvation is made possible for us. And also, that at Jesus' return, which Paul described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, both those Christians alive and those who had already departed in death will be raptured up out of this world in their eternal glorified bodies to live together with Jesus for all eternity. That's why Paul urged those who would ever read his words to encourage each other with these great truths. Now, let's pause right here. What does it mean for you and me today, my friends? It leaves us with these questions. First, am I confident that if Jesus was to return right now, I would not be left behind, but would be transformed and taken up to be with Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Second, do I understand the patience of God and that there will be a day of the Lord reckoning when the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth and the people who have rejected God? Third, do I understand the only way I or anyone can escape that wrath of God is trusting Jesus as the only God-provided Savior? John 14, verse 6. As always, some important lessons learned notes are available to help you dig more deeply into these scriptures, and a wonderful worship song to draw us to Jesus in worship and prayer. And I'll be here tomorrow waiting for you with more.